Thank you, thank you. Oh, do that work right now, Father God. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Someone's inheritance is being released. Something's been held up in the courts. It's being released. Oh, hallelujah, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord, we abide in your presence, God. Oh, we abide in you. Oh, there's a weighty presence in here right now. Weighty presence. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, Spirit of the living God, I thank you. Oh, Spirit of the living God, I thank you. Have your way, Holy Ghost. Have your way. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Someone's been crying out, oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. You don't even know what to pray anymore. Oh, Jesus. You don't even know what to say. You just pace your apartment. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. You keep pacing. You go into the kitchen. You walk out of the kitchen. You go into your living room. You just look around. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Where do I start? Where do I begin? What do I do? Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Are you going to leave me this way? Oh, Jesus. And I want to tell you that he's looking at you. He's watching you. When you can just stand right there in the middle of that miry pit. And he's going to reach down. He's going to pull you right back up. And if you can just trust the Spirit of the living God, I hear by the Holy Ghost tonight that you are not alone, beloved. Even when you feel alone in that apartment, you're not alone. You've heard me walk through the steps. You've heard the steps coming from your front door, walking down the hall. And then you hear me. You turn around. I am right there with you. I'm not leaving you. I'm not going to leave you here. You're not going to stay here. I'm about ready to move you out of this place. And don't worry about how the money's coming. I've got everything in control for you. And you're going to know when you get into this place, they're going to say, don't worry about the first month or the deposit. I got you. Don't worry about the utility bills. I've got you. Father, in the name of Jesus, she's here tonight. She is here tonight. And Father, I thank you right now. Father, don't even worry about who's going to pack her, who's going to move her, Father. Lord, I thank you that there'll be an army of people there saying, because of your Spirit, we're here to help you. And we're going to move you to your place that you need to be. And don't worry about a thing. I've got your vehicle in line for you. I'll fix it all up, and I've got things in store for you. You just got to keep worshiping me. Praise me. And if you can't even lift up a voice or a shout, Jesus is who I am. Jesus. 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 You've worn the carpet out because you've been pacing back and forth. You've been pacing back and forth. Beloved, I speak unto your spirit man right now. Joy comes in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. 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 Come on, somebody. If that had been your word. Oh, Jesus. My, 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 my. Jesus, hallelujah. Glory, glory. Oh. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes, thank you. I hear that. Oh, my, 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 my son. There's been some idols that have been erected. And you made it into an astral pole. Let me tell you something about this false God that you're serving. That false God's going to take everything you own if you don't quit what you're doing. If you don't quit what you're doing, I'm going to take everything and even your life. I am God Almighty. And by me, there is no other. Anything you put before me, I will utterly destroy and burn it down to the ground. Says the Spirit of the living God. We need to take our stand and believe in God Almighty as our source, God Almighty as our resource, and God Almighty as our supply. Father, I thank you right now that you are also the God that redeems us. And whatever had a grip or a hold on someone's mentality or their spirit, man, Father, I just destroy it now in Jesus' mighty name. If this is just a service of deliverance, then so be it. But we ain't going on another day this way. Especially when I see some things being erected in the house of God. Hear me now. Some of you don't know that you're walking in, which you brought an idol with you. And you've got to understand that the idol that sits on top of you, sometimes you don't even know that it's there. But I'm telling you right now, if you don't turn away from that thing, you're going to fall into the pit and you're not coming back out. Hear me and hear me good. God is not playing. He's trying to get his people to be established, but we keep messing up as a people of God. Where is the wisdom that I have bestowed upon my people? And the wisdom tells me the first thing to do is to fear God. Amen. God Almighty. Amen. And in that reverence of God, he begins to mold you and make you who he wants you to be. But a lot of times we're struggling because we don't want God to put us on that wheel. Sometimes your problem is your God. Sometimes your lack can be your God because you put that attention to that. Your illness, your sickness is your God if you put that much attention to it. If you just lift up your eyes unto the Lord and worship him from all your heart, all your being. I know your body's going to try to tell you that you're not healed. It's a lying spirit. Jesus didn't put that on you. Matter of fact, he came to take it away and do away with it. And if you're going through the process of your healing, go through. Go through. And go through kicking and screaming. There ain't nothing wrong with that. People think, oh, I made God mad. No, kick, scream, get mad all you want. Jacob did it and his whole name got changed. I'm telling you, there is something that has taken place. And if we don't get in line, we're going to miss it. I'm going to miss it. Pockets of fire will hit all over this city and we'll be sitting there watching. Look at that fire when it should have been on you. Are you hearing my spirit? Not me, my spirit. This, just because it's going this way, it's hitting me. I don't want you to think, well, Pastor, you always get mad at it. I ain't getting mad. How do you think I'm hearing it? It ain't nice. But just like your father in heaven and you're the child, he does have a rod. And he brings you back in order. Brings you back in order. He may have to hurt you a little bit. Oh, God, don't hurt me. Are you going through some pain right now? Who sent it? It's for a reason. But I want you to understand that his promises for you are yea and amen. That you receive and you walk it out. You walk it out. And I believe by the Spirit of God, there's going to be some false idols falling off of you. Don't get all twisted. Don't think, Pastor, I love Jesus. I know you do. You wouldn't have been, especially through the crazy praise and worship tonight, you would have left if you didn't love Jesus. You would have. God has a way of touching people in special ways. We can have one crying out, another one laughing in the spirit, another one crying and crying, and one just saying, oh my God, what are you doing? What are you doing? Oh my God, this feels good. What is it? What is it, God? And he's still moving. Do you understand? But he's trying to get us to a place in him. Hear my heart. He wants us to get further along than we've ever been. Amen. All right, I know. Can we get humble? Oh, yeah, yeah. Because in that humility, God begins to show himself strong. Strong. So please understand that we need to move in that direction. Amen. All right, James. Why don't you come up? We're going to get into it. Go to his slide. I just so appreciate you guys for allowing the presence of God to move. Boy, we need that. We need that. Elder, can we turn on the back lights, please? All right, James, come on up. And I know you got a PowerPoint. They'll take care of that for you. We'll leave the front lights off so that this way they could see it. I want you to, if you got a different word, bring the different word. If you got this word, run with it. All
right. Praise God. Father God, we just come to your throne of grace. Father God, I thank you for your presence here. Father God, I thank you that you anoint your speaker tonight. Anoint your servant, Father God, one more time. Father God, forgive his sins, for there are many. Father God, I just thank you, Father God, that you used me tonight to share this message, Father God. And Father God, we just be open to you, what you're going to do tonight. We thank you and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, wow, I've already had church. It's like, man, the guest speaker is over there drunk. So I was a little bit nervous. I'm like, well, okay, Holy Spirit, you do what you do best, and you minister. I am, like I said, I am drunk in the Holy Ghost right now. I am messed up. So you're going to have to bear with me, okay? I'm going to try to do the best I can up here. But I just, a little bit about myself and your pastor. I met your pastor in 2003 when we were attending a church called the House of Living Bread. And I'd never been around a spirit-led, spirit-filled church before. And I remember walking in and Pastor Pete Gomez was giving a word to this man about what he's doing and where he's going now and about going to the nations. And when 2 Wednesdays ago when he mentioned that to me, I'm thinking, well, I want to go. The Holy Ghost says, well, you ain't ready. It's like, oh, okay, get ready. So this is kind of in line with what, this message is kind of in line with what the Holy Spirit's been dealing with me and has been, we've been synced up now for about a year and a half, actually. And I don't talk to Pastor Marty that often, maybe a text message here and there, an amen, a praise report, this and that, but I don't talk to him, but the messages have been in the same line. And the same line with Brother Oscar, and I put that up there to start out with, to just give you an idea of where we're at and where we're going. And I'm just going to segue what the man of God has already laid out. Because I was sitting there taking notes and I'm like, yep, that's what the Spirit's telling me. Yep, that's what the Spirit's telling me. Strike while the iron is hot. What does that mean? That means when a blacksmith is forming metal, sharpening metal, he heats it up real, real hot. And I'm here to tell you, saints, that it's going to get real hot. If you ain't going through the heat right now, you will be. Because he needs a purified vessel. He needs a purified bride, Father God. He needs it. He needs it. And when the blacksmith is ready, he takes that hammer and he starts to beat that instrument into a sharp sword. And that's what this body is. About a year and a half ago, we were out looking at property and we looked at a building over off of Gilbo and Bandera. And Brother Marty met me over there, and I went over there, and we walked in. And all of a sudden, I felt the Holy Ghost in there. And we looked at the property, and we started talking about things, and we started seeing things or images that were going to happen or things that were going to take place. And then we prayed, and we left. And as we're driving down Bandera Road, the Holy Ghost starts speaking to me loud. And he said to me, do you know what was in those boxes? And he said, boots. And I said, this, meaning this church, this body of Christ, is a training facility for the end time army. This is a training facility. And those boots, and all of a sudden I could hear the marching of soldiers. And every member of the body in line going out to take out whatever the enemy has out there and taking the ground. Taking what God has promised to us, our Jerusalem. Get your hearts ready. God is all about business. And if you haven't figured that is a mandate. I'm telling you, I am at my computer, in my word, more than I've ever been in my life. And with a holy terror of just like, you know what? It's right on. That message is right on. God will equip you. That's what we're here to do. We're here to equip you, to get you ready. Be prepared to pay the price. Don't let your flesh get in the way. Get ready to cross the Jordan. We're getting ready to cross. Rekindle your fire. Stay on the path. release the joy, rejoice in the Lord always, and saturate yourself in the Lord. So when I got ready to prepare, and believe me, when Pastor Marty asked me to bring a message, this message was preached a year ago in my spirit. Because basically the Lord spoke to me and he said, a healthy church is a soul-winning church. And this is a healthy church. And this is a soul-winning church. And so we're here to train you and build you up. So the first scripture I went to was Joshua. Joshua 1, 1 and 2. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready and cross the Jordan River in the land that I'm about to give you, to give them to the Israelites. Think about this. 2 million people. How big is the city of San Antonio? Hello? 2 million people. 600,000. 601,638 men in the land that was occupied by ites for 400 years. Amalekites, Girgashites, Jebusites, all the ites occupied. Yeah, some of them. And when I first started reading this, the first thing was, I didn't get the first sentence, and the Holy Spirit said, someone has to die. I said, what? I said, someone died. Moses, my servant, is dead. Somebody's got to die. Okay, that's me. I got to die. And it's kind of interesting because I remember when we were at the house of Living Bread, we had this debate about who was the other end time prophet, whether it was Moses or Elijah or Enoch. Well, I got to call Pastor Pete and tell him right here, it ain't Moses because Moses is dead. All right. Next slide, please. Evangelism is the kingdom's number one priority. It is numero uno on the list, bringing people into the kingdom. Another thing, we can come in here and get blessed and filled with the Spirit, and that's great, and we get ministered to, but it's not for us. It's for us to take out to them, take out to the lost souls of this Jerusalem. And I believe that the Lord is going to be very specific. He's going to start speaking to your pastor. He's going to start speaking to members of this church. And he's going to lay out your Jerusalem. Because that's what the mandate is. Knowing this, that the Holy Spirit is the evangelist. So you're saying, okay, am I called to be an evangelist? Well, really, who's the evangelist? The evangelist is the Holy Spirit that lives inside you. In other words, you really can kind of get off easy because, oh, well, I don't have that gift or I don't have that mantle. But the Holy Spirit is the one that's going to do the work. John 15, 26 and 27. When the counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. In other words, you don't have to speak. The Holy Spirit will speak through you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regards to sin and righteousness and judgment. I serve in a ministry called From Dope to Hope. And on Monday nights, we're down at the parole board down on Zazamora Street. And I'm ministering to convicts. So this is a little bit strange for me. Okay, I'm ministering to people that sell drugs, lie, cheat, steal, rape, those type of people. But you know what? God is moving mightily down there. Why? Because it's the Spirit. And I'm still learning, haven't gotten it yet, learning how to work with that Spirit. So I basically come up and preach a message. The Holy Spirit comes in. He takes care of it for me. And we see every night, we see 7, 8, 9, 10 people come to Christ. And it's awesome. For his honor and glory, not mine. I just get out of his way. He does the work. Matthew 10:20, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of God speaking through you. And Luke 21:15, for I will give you words of wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. Because when I was, Pastor Marty knows every pastor that I've ever served under, every one of them, every single one of them, from Pastor Randy all the way on down. And I've learned something from every single ministry that I've been in. Lord has kept me in seasons, and I've learned different things in different seasons of my ministry. Sometimes thinking, I don't know what in the world I'm doing here. But I can tell you that I, along the way, when I was... next slide, please. You will be given power to witness. In other words, you don't have to worry about it. The power is going to be given. You don't have to turn on the switch. You can't do it on out of your flesh. Believe me, I've tried. I've been at this for now about 13 years, and I've tried in the beginning. I'm here to tell you that I've made all the mistakes. I've done all the foolish things. So I'm here to tell you how to do it the right way, or train you how to do it the right way. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came to them and said, "All authority on heaven and earth has been given unto me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." That is the Great Commission. It's not the great suggestion. Okay? That is mission number one. That is number one priority. And it's for everybody. It's not just for those who are anointed, those who are super spiritual. It's for everyone. That is your call. That's, if you think about this, Jesus, when he got ready to go into heaven, the last words he said, if you study it out in the Gospels, you'd probably figure that was the most important thing that he could share. Because he knew, that's it, I'm out of here. I'm leaving. And so the last thing he said was, go do this. Okay? Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. Pastor Marty's right now is going to fulfill that this summer when he goes. And my prayer is that when he's gone, when he comes back, his ministry is going to have grown in that period of time while he's away because of this, because of people are getting serious about the things of God, getting serious about the work of God. Christ is, everybody has a ministry. If you say, well, I'm not in ministry. I don't have, you know, I'm not in the fivefold ministry. I don't have a church. I don't have business cards. I don't have a bumper sticker. Everybody has a ministry. We all have the ministry of reconciliation. We've been given it by God. We have a ministry. So say, everybody say with me, I have a ministry. The ministry of reconciliation. Your confession rules you, because you're going to learn when you're evangelizing, you speak with your mouth and confess with your, or I'm sorry, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, out it comes. That solidifies it. It's a done deal. 2 Corinthians 5:16-17. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. In other words, look at that person that you're with, the person that you're around on a daily basis. You're not going to look, after tonight, you're not going to look at them in the same way. You're going to look at them as a spirit, not as a boy or girl or man or woman, coworker. Look at them as a spirit. And the Holy Spirit's going to start dealing with you about how to talk to that person about him. Because at the end of the day, Jesus wants everybody saved. He does not wish anybody to perish. And like I said, once we get that in our spirit, man, our lives are going to change. And you know what? My attitude is, if I'm going to do this, and believe me, it was prophesied to me on the tent that I would go kicking and screaming. And so I've been kicking and screaming. So I'm like, okay, God, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to have a good time doing it. I want to do it with a smile on my face and love in my heart. And I want to enjoy this. But at the same time, I'm still new at this. So I'm kind of figuring, kind of finding my way, feeling my way around in the dark sometimes. But God's helping me. 2 Corinthians 5:18, and all this from God who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting man's sins against them. And he was committed to us the message of reconciliation. Everybody in here has that message. What is that message? Jesus Christ died for you. He rose on the third day so that you can be with him in eternity. Isn't that great? Think about that. That gets me excited just talking about it. Because when you start telling people about Christ, then that light comes on, that fire comes on, and all of a sudden, it's not about, you just step out of the way. And all they can see is, wow, I see Christ Jesus. And I tell you, when you get up to minister, it's like, man, I don't want them to see me. I want them to see Jesus up here. I want them to feel the love. And it's hard sometimes if you think about it. I have to look at those men in the eyes, those same men that are out there that have lied, whatever they've done bad. And I love them. I love them. It's not me. It's the Holy Spirit inside me. And I communicate that love with them. So when you're out there, you're going to have that same love. You're going to start loving souls, start loving people to the cross. Love them to the cross. That's what this business, that's what this ministry is all about. That's this pastor's heart. That's his heart. That's what's on the billboard sign outside. Loving people, reaching people with the love of God. Next slide, please. You can be a soul winner. The one who desires real success and bring others to Christ must himself be thoroughly converted. And this goes in line with everything that's been preached and taught in this ministry for the last month. In other words, God's all about getting us cleaned up. In other words, we have to know what we know. We have to get in our word. We have to study our Bible. We have to know those scriptures. We have to know that we know that we know that we're saved. We have to be strong Christians, not for us, but for them out there. Reach those people that are lost. But I have prayed for Simon that your faith may not fail. I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have been converted, strengthen your brothers. I remember this so vivid like it was yesterday. Because everybody that is in this, in the ministry, and especially those of us that have been on that ship, I'm like, I met Pastor your pastor, and we were on the same ship to Tarshish, and we both got scuttled. Build more? So anyway, getting back to this, God speaks to you, and he comes to you in the dead of night. You're sound asleep, and he says to you, James, do you love me? And you say, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And he says, feed my lambs. And then that voice comes again. James, do you really love me? Yes, Lord, you know all things. Then feed my sheep. And then the third time he asks, James, do you really love me? And at this time you're like, whoa, it's hitting you right there. And he's saying, feed my sheep. And so I ran, tried to run as far as I could away from the ministry, but he kept bringing me back. He kept bringing me back. He kept bringing me back until I got to that point, like Peter in the boat. I got to that point where it's like, wait a minute, that's the Lord. I put on my garment. I dove in the water head first to try to get to Jesus, to try to get to the ground where he was at, because he had breakfast there for me waiting. But God is going to call you back to that point. And he's going to call those people that are out there back to that point. God's going to call them back. Not just the lost, but you're going to help start restoring people that are in ministry, that have fallen, that have gotten bruised, beat up. I thank God every day for this ministry and this man. Because there was a time when I was flat on my back, out for the count. The devil had me down and out. I mean, it was like Rocky Balboa. I was out. But I was brought back in by a minister of the gospel who just said, you know what, I'm just going to love you. I just want you to come back. I just want to see you restored. I want to see your prophetic gift and calling restored in your life. I thank God for that every day. Amen. If you desire to bring others to Christ, you must turn away from all sin, worldliness, selfishness with your whole heart, yielding. Exactly what the man of God said earlier, yielding to Jesus, the absolute lordship over your thoughts, purposes, and actions. Wow. Absolute, absolute, absolute lordship. That's where some people miss it. In other words, for so many years, I can tell you for so many years, I did this on my own thing. I was like, okay, Lord, I'll do this for you, but I'm going to do it this way. And I want to go here and I want to do that. It's like, no, it doesn't work like that. I fought God, man. I fought him tooth and nail. But finally I figured out, you know what? His way works. He's got my best interest at heart, and he loves me. He loves me, and he wants me to be blessed. Next slide, please. Oh, whoops. Whoops, we went too far. Soul winning is a lifestyle. That's what we want to instill in you. We want to instill that it is a lifestyle habit, just like getting up and brushing your teeth. I get up every morning and I go to the gym and work out. Not so much because I enjoy working out. It's just the fact that I've made it a habit. I've made it part of my lifestyle. Anyway, Matthew 9, 30, 37, 38. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field." This is awesome because of the fact that about when I was at Fortress Church, I was in a prayer closet and we used to pray in the back. And all of a sudden I had a vision, and this was a vision. And I was standing in the middle of the wheat field, and the wheat field, wheat was about this tall. And I could see Jesus, and Jesus was dressed in the same garb that he wore when he was on the earth. I don't know why I knew that, but I knew that. And he was holding out his hands. And as far as you could see, people were coming from the north, the south, and the east, and the west, inviting to come and join in his harvest, his soul harvest. Exactly what the man of God prophesied and preached earlier. The harvest is truly plentiful, and the laborers are few. I am the vine and you are the branches, for if any man remains in me and me in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I've proved that part out. Sorry. I've proved it out over and over and over again. Decided I wasn't going to serve God. I was going to go the other way and just sit back and be a couch potato. I was in a church service and a member of a church ministry for a year and didn't do anything. Just go to church. But I didn't, nothing. Nothing. He started taking stuff, taking business, money, finances, all that stuff gone. Whoa, I don't want that anymore, Lord. Let me get busy for you. Jesus has chosen you to be a soul winner. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. So we are fruit bearers. In other words, we're going to go out and bear fruit. We're going to go out and bring people into the kingdom. We're going to basically take this city for Christ. Next slide. Love others into the kingdom. And right up there is the same thing that's on the moniker out front. Reaching people with the love of God. We must truly love others and long for their salvation. We must be constantly watching for opportunities to speak to the unsaved. In other words, just get your spiritual antennas open, your spiritual eyes open. Ephesians 6, 17 and 18. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We must know how to use the Bible to show people they need a Savior. You need to take the sword. And if those of you know, I'm also, another ministry that I'm involved in is I'm a Gideon. Okay, the Gideons are the Christian organization that puts the Bibles in the hotels and motels. I have access to unlimited supply of Bibles. The small PWTs all the way up to the big ones. And so if you want a pocket knife, next Wednesday I'll have some here, the little square tiny Bibles. Because sometimes when you minister salvation to somebody, you can't go with them, but you can send the word with them in a Bible. And so never use that as an excuse, well, I didn't bring my Bible. You'll have one with you. Never use that as an excuse. Okay. Soul winning is done by prayer. Acts 8, 29, the Spirit told Philip, go to the chariot and stay near it. In other words, he was given specific instructions by the Holy Spirit where to go to meet the Ethiopian. So if our ears are open, our eyes are open, God's going to start speaking to us. He's going to put us in a position where, boom, there's that person. He's going to come up, he or she is going to come up to us, and we're going to be ready. We're going to be ready with the word. Why? Because you come in here and you get blessed. You get filled. You get saturated. You get to come in here and just soak in the presence of God. It should be just oozing out of your pores. Well, people see you, boom, they're going to say, there's something different about that person. Or the better thing yet, when they look at you, they're going to say, I want what they have. I want peace. How many people do you see walking around in life that have no peace? Frustrated, angry, you know, kicking their dog, whatever. But that is the one thing in this earth that we lack. Plus, with all the naysayers and all the stuff that we hear from television, just negative, 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 negative all the time. Sometimes they just need that. And I believe, because the Bible says once they receive Christ, He puts himself, he seals himself into their heart. So they have the right software. In other words, it's like a computer. If you, any of you are computer geeks or nerds, basically they have the right software so that when you they receive Christ, they can download all the other stuff. And so when you lead them to Christ, invite them to church, they're like, yeah, why wouldn't I go? Why? Because Christ is on the inside telling them to go. Next. Take the first step. As if they are Christian. And getting back to one of the ministries that I headed up when I was at Triumphant Word Christian Center was we had what we called the SWAT team. SWAT stands for Soul Winning Action Team, Special Weapons and Tactics. And myself and Brother Josh Palumbo, we would go out on Saturdays to the Ingram Park Mall, and we would do exactly what I'm going to be training you to do here, and just being led by the Spirit. And the first step, and one of the things that we'll get to that a little bit later. I just approach people. You know, one way to break the ice, ask them if they're a Christian. Simple question, are you saved? Do you know Jesus? If you died today, where would your soul spend eternity? Bring up the subject right away when you're talking to them. So I try to get them. I usually, one of my favorites is, if you died today, where would your soul spend eternity? That's like the deer in the headlights. That'll get their attention real quick because they don't think about that. They don't think about their mortality until they're confronted with it. Once they're confronted with it, boom, there's the door. It's wide open. Are you saved? Or are you a Christian? But the Holy Spirit will tell you. It's kind of like cheating, actually. You know, it is because you like it's like when you're like whispering in the ears. That's a whole other story. The next step is to find out where the person stands. This will tell you everything you need to know to treat the case wisely. Everybody's going to be different. Not everybody's the same. We're all different. We all came to Christ differently. And so don't think that, oh, well, there's just going to be this one way, and that's that. But everybody's going to be different, and we have to learn how to engage in that. Okay? Their tone of voice, their facial expressions will often reveal what their words may try to conceal. You can read people. You can read them like a book. It's often funny when I go to work out and I see Pastor Marty, and I just kind of watch. And I just watch and see what he does. And I'm watching, and I'm seeing. I'm just, you know, in my mind, thinking in my mind's eye that, okay, he's getting a read on this person. He's getting a read on that person. Why? Because it happened to me. I had just basically kind of given up and kind of I was on the bench, and all of a sudden I'm over at the gym working out one day, and here comes Pastor Marty. And all of a sudden it's bam. You know how he looks at you, and all of a sudden that word comes. It's like I'm sitting here in the middle of the gym. I know Inez is over there. She's laughing. But you know what? Praise God for that. Now you got to be instant in season and out of season. If he wasn't obedient, God knows where. I don't know where I'd be. Honestly, wouldn't be up here talking. All right. He'll tell you exactly what scripture to use. Okay. Lead them to the Savior. Romans 10:9-10. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For it is with the heart that you believe and are justified, and it is your mouth that you confess and are saved. So when Josh and I, and my brother in Christ and Josh, we would actually work out together in the mornings. I'd get up at 4 o'clock because he worked at Wells Fargo, and he had to be work early. So we'd go at 4 o'clock a.m., and we're in there pumping iron, and we're quizzing ourselves. Hey, Josh, what's Romans 10:9-10? And he'd recite it. And we would go through these scriptures the whole time we were working out. And it's, like I said, I mean, there's a direct correlation between bodybuilding and bodybuilding. And I know that this man has spoke to me many times that the Lord has told me, build my body. And so that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be building the body. I wrote the sinner's prayer up there. The sinner's prayer, You do not have to get it perfect. Okay? I remember the first time I led somebody to the Lord, I was shaking in my boots. And I was like, man, Lord Jesus, help me. I crucified the sinner's prayer. Literally, no pun intended, Lord. But basically, it's very simple. You're going to just get comfortable with whatever you say. And I believe that if you tape recorded my messages on Monday night, it's a different one every time. But the same thing. It's their heart. Believe in their heart. Confess with their mouth that Jesus was who he said he was and did what he said he was going to do. That's it. Next slide. Show them that they have been forgiven and have eternal life. This is where the Word of God comes into play. Because you have to have a Bible with you, a sword of the Spirit with you. Because if you pick up on the theme here, it's the Word that does the work, not you. You step back and let the Word do the work, because the Word is sharper than any two-edged sword, able to separate soul from spirit. So just let the Word do the work. And it's not hard. It just takes a little practice. And I'm telling you, you know how you were when you first got saved? You witnessed to a doorstop. You'd be like out there selling. I mean, I know, and I know Marty, Brother Marty has pets. And I was like, man, I mean, I know you led your cats to the Lord, didn't you? I'm telling you. I led both my dogs to the Lord. I did. Why? It's practice. You can practice on your daughter. And you know what's going to bless your heart? You know, this happened to me. I got to share this testimony real quick. No extra cost. I'm sitting in the bed, and my son and I used to sleep together in the bed. My wife don't sleep with me. But anyway, that's another story. Oh, she just don't. I don't know why I'm getting into that. But anyway, my son and I would sit and we would read the Bible. And we would read the Bible, the kids' stories and stuff. And all of a sudden, he started to cry. And I said, what's wrong? He said, I don't know if I'm going to go to heaven. And I said, do you want to know? And he said, yes. And I said, I led my son to the Lord in the bed with me. Are you talking about blessed? You talk about just seeing, and you know that you know that you know that it's done. He's good to go. Another quick testimony I want to share is I was born and raised a Catholic, so Catholic all my life. All my relatives are Catholic. Anyway, a lot of us in here, we've had that conversation before. But I think it was my birthday. My grandmother, at the time, my grandmother Caraway, my dad's mom, called me when I was at school, 90 years old. And all of a sudden, the unction of the Holy Spirit came on me. And I just said, Grandma, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And I said, do you want to know that your heaven is? And this is a woman that has served the church all her life, worked at made scalloped potatoes and ham, everything. Over the phone, led her to the Lord. Wow. Right there. The Holy Ghost fell, and everybody in her family at her funeral. Okay? She lived in wonderful life. You know, when she died, praise the Lord. But we're at her funeral, and every one of her sisters approached me and told me about that day. Wow. That she gave her life to Christ. And I'm walking up past the casket, and I'm going to say, see you soon. She's there with Jesus. You know, that's awesome. You don't realize that you take and you change someone's eternal destiny. Hell is a real place, folks. It is a real place. And literally what you do is you're literally ripping them out of the clutches of Satan and bringing them into the kingdom of God. And the Bible says, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. And the violent taketh by force. And there's some people in here. I know myself, Pastor Marty. We weren't always saved. But, you know, you've got to have that. I believe that people who have had that background, they understand that. Because I know that, dude, I used to get in fights. I used to pick fights with people. But I would never pick a fight that I knew I couldn't win. And so if you have that disposition, you're going to be great in the kingdom, because that's what it's all about. Because you understand there's this colossal battle for souls. At the end of the day, what's it all about? Satan is trying to get them on his side. We want them on our side. That's it. That's Christianity. A to B. Get bold. Get strong. Bring them over. It's a violent thing. When we were out in the... We used to minister at the Ingram Park Mall. And Josh, because of the fact that you're paired... God will pair you up with the right person. I called him my fishing buddy. But Josh was like John, the Apostle John, the loving one, the caring one. I was like Peter, the crazy, it's like, don't get into a fight or don't get into an argument with this guy. But anyway, we're sitting there and we have this group, and picture this group of these people are wearing, they're thugs, tattoos, the whole thing, the baggy pants, gangsters. We're standing there and we just walk up to them, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost falls. Bam! And it was like we're in a circle and there's probably about five or six of them, and we're sitting there and we're simply saying, you know what? I don't want to go to hell. The thing was, it wasn't about, okay, I'm going to go serve in a church or all this wonderful stuff. It was about, I don't want to go to hell. And we led them all to the Lord in that time. There's so many testimonies I can give, but I don't want to get to that. Next slide, please. Dealing with people who are indifferent. These are the type of people that we used to run into. And I believe that when I started doing this study, it's like, okay, oh, I remember that person or this person. And it's one of those things where I just give God glory, because sometimes I don't even believe I actually did that. That's not me. That's just not me. I'm not that kind of person. I'm the kind of person like, I don't care about you. But you know what? We did this. Dealing with people who don't care, don't know. You must show them that they need a Savior. Once again, the sword of the Spirit. And I should have brought my Bible, because I have a red Bible that I used when we went and did that ministry for almost 2.5 years, and it's wore out. The Roman road has been walked on many times. The pages are falling out. But I knew. And here's another thing, too. The Holy Spirit will, if you use the same Bible, this is a little for no extra cost. If you use the same Bible, the Holy Spirit will know by the thickness of the pages where the Scripture's at. He'll show you right there. Bam. You'll be like, oh, there it is. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You're like, oh, you're thinking you're all cool. I know where the Spirit. No. Anyway, dealing with the people who don't care. Okay. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Ask them to read it and ask them who sinned. In other words, once again, we're getting them to confess, to speak with their mouth, believe in their heart. And this is kind of like, this is good stuff. Who has sinned? Ask them what they have done and pursue it until they say, well, I have sinned and come short of the glory of God. They've already admitted it. Okay? Isaiah 53:6. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. Have them read the Scripture and ask them, who's gone astray? Bring them to the point where they say, I've gone astray. I have. Get them to admit it. I've gone astray. Ask them what kind of sheep has gone astray. Hello, a lost sheep. What are you then? Lost. Because when the Holy Spirit's got them at lost. And then you're right there. And it's just the Word. It's just knowing a few key scriptures. You don't have to know them all. And believe me, there's a lot of information, a lot of scripture here, but it's like the whole sponge. We are like, God has created us to be like sponges when it comes to his word. And when the pressure comes and you get squeezed, what's going to come out? The word of God's going to come out. When you're in a situation, the word of God's going to come out. Dealing with people who are open-hearted. You run into these. We used to run into these when we did over in Thunderbird Hills, which was part of our Jerusalem, and run up to people and you're like, hi, my name's James. We're telling people about Jesus. Do you know Jesus? Yeah. Are you saved? No. You want to be? Yeah. Okay. That would happen. And you're like, really? You're almost like, you don't say that, but you think it. Many people are ready to be saved, but do not know how. Isaiah 53:6. Once again, we read the first part of the verse to the inquirer, then ask, is this true of you? And ask them, now what has the Lord done to your sins? Now point out that they have have to accept the sin bearer whom God has provided. Jesus is our sin bearer. God took his only son, sent him to earth to be our sin bearer. In other words, our salvation, our savior. Two things you must know. Two things must be known in all scenarios. One thing must be done for a man to be saved. What he needs to know is this. First, he is a lost sinner. And second, that Christ is the all-sufficient Savior. That's all they need. They need to simply accept Jesus. John 1 and 12. Yet to all who have received him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And ask, what must you do to become children of God? Receive him. That's it. A couple of key things. And there's like I said, I'm giving you a lot of scripture. I can get this to you. If you have a Microsoft Office, I'll email it to you. If you want printouts, I'll give you printouts. But once again, we're equipping you. Next slide, please. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Went back. Dealing with difficulties. You know, some people think that they're beyond being saved. I'm too great a sinner. 1 Timothy 1:15. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Jesus Christ came to save sinners, of whom I am worst. That's the Apostle Paul. Wow, the guy that wrote almost half the New Testament, telling everybody that I'm the worst sinner there is. Ask, what does this verse mean to you? This is his promise, precious promise. Will you accept it? Romans 5 and 8. But God demonstrates to us his own love for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Some people think that I'm too weak. I'll backslide. I don't have the power. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. God knows all about our weaknesses and will permit us and will not permit us to be tempted above our strength. Thank God for that. Man, God stays with us because we're all saved sinners. We were all sinners at one time. Now we're saints. Thank you, Jesus. Dealing with those who ask, is God too good? Dealing with those who think God is too good to condemn anyone. I got that more times than anything. God is good. He's not going to kill me. He's not going to condemn me to hell. We know nothing of God's goodness except what we learn in the Bible. So tell them, God's goodness is in here. Romans 2, 4, and 5. Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you towards repentance? The purpose of God's goodness is to lead you to repentance, not encourage you to sin. It's not a license to sin. That's to all of us. We can get some of that. Being saved is not a license to sin. John 3, 36. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, but God's wrath remains on him. That's serious as a heart attack right there. It's bam, right between the eyes. Next slide, please. Dealing with the self-righteous. Oh, you get a lot of these too. Hey, I can work my way to heaven. Yep. Romans 3, 19 and 20. Now we know that whatever the says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth will be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will declare righteousness in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, be become conscious of sin. James 2 and 10. For whoever keeps the whole law and stumbles at just one of these points is guilty to break all of it. Wow. No man's righteousness comes up to God's standard. It's all filthy rags. I mean, I just thank God that he's a compassionate Savior. Next slide, please. Dealing with objections. This is another one I got. Oh, that Bible, that's not reliable. This is a good one. Someone tells you the Bible is unreliable, hand it to them and say, here, show me. And they're like, well, yeah, right, that's what I thought. You don't read it, do you? That's the people that you get who say that. Why does Jesus have to die? That's another one. People say, well, why did he have to die? It doesn't make any sense to them. But getting back to that, a lot of times too, and this is where when you're going out, you're going to go out with another person. You're not going to go out by yourself. You're going to go out with somebody else because there's somebody there that's got to be there binding and loosing. Okay? One is ministering, the other one's binding and loosening. Because the Bible says that the enemy blinds the eyes of the unbeliever. So you have to bind that spirit. And so typically when Josh and I were working together in tandem, I would be the one that was talking and addressing, and he would be the one binding and loosing. And it was like, it's awesome because of the fact that he would see stuff in the spirit that I would miss and keep us from, you know, getting into trouble. And it was like, it was just a wonderful thing. And we would just walk around, you know, and just walk around. All of a sudden, the Lord would tap me on the shoulder. Hey, go talk to her. Hey, go talk to this one. And believe me, there were people that would be seeing what we were doing. After a while, you kind of know, they kind of know you're around there. And they said, they would come up to you and say things like, wow, the spirit of darkness has lifted since you guys have been out here. Because, I mean, you think about it. What happens at that mall? You know, I mean, anyway. Romans 9 and 20. But who are you, O man, to talk back to God? Shall what is formed say to him who formed it? Why did you make me like this? That's foolish to sit there and question God. I'm going to say, oh, Mr. Potter, you know, I don't like the kind of what you're making me into. Let's get over that. Too many hypocrites in the church. Man, I heard that a lot. Now is not the time. This is another thing, too. People don't understand. Now is not the time. If there's any time, it's now. We are living, ladies and gentlemen, we are living in end times. We are the end times church, the end times saints. Do you realize that our patriarchs, Moses, all those people that came before us, they long to be in this time. Why? Because as the darkness and all the evil starts to rise, the Spirit is going to be poured out so much more. We've seen it here. In other words, walk, literally walk, and your shadow is going to get people saved. That type of power is going to be available to this dispensation. It's going to happen. That type of power is available. Stay with it. Stay on the course. You'll get that type of power. Next slide. Soul winning tips. Okay, here's some quick tips. When possible, deal with people your own sex and your own age. Unless you're led by the Spirit, you're not going to be witnessing to no honey. Sorry. Stay away from that. If you have another woman with you, that's good. Or, like I said, send your sister. Okay? We got away with that because of, and a lot of times, sometimes the Holy Spirit will let that pass, but I knew that Josh and his heart and his spirit was holding me accountable and me vice versa, which is another reason. That's why you don't see your pastor up here after church talking with not Oscar or Daniel beside him. Accountability. Sorry, Daniel. I knew your name was Daniel. When possible, talk to that person alone. That doesn't always work. Sometimes you're in a crowded area. We used to lead people to the Lord at the, you know, at the AT&T kiosk. You know, all those kiosks at the mall. But you know what? The Holy Spirit would just stop and the whole world would stand still and you'd have that opportunity to minister and witness the gospel. Many times that happened. But ideally, you don't want to have anybody talking about their sin or, you know, whatever out in the open. So kind of get them alone. Rely wholly on the Spirit and the Word of God and do not read or quote the passages, but have them read it for themselves. Remember, confess with their mouth, believe in their heart. The Holy Spirit's working the whole time, and the Word of God is doing the work for you. Let them confess it. It is best to emphasize a single passage of Scripture. Get one that you're comfortable with. The Holy Spirit will drop it in your spirit. It'll just come. Bam, there it is. Oh, Romans 3:23. Keep the person focused on the main point with accepting Christ. Sometimes they want to distract you. Sometimes they want to talk about baptism. Focus on accepting Christ. Be courteous. You can be frank and courteous at the same time. That's one thing that I had to learn. The Spirit of God had to rein me back because I'd be a little bit aggressive. Because I'm like, what do you? Anyway, be earnest and let the Scriptures that you use sink into their souls. That's all you're doing. It's like a crock pot. You're throwing this in and throwing that in. You just turn it on the heat, let it marinate. Pretty soon you got them. He's got them. My bad. Be earnest. Let the scriptures... Okay. Never lose your temper. Oh, thank God for Josh. Man, there's so many times that Josh would just step in and he knew. He's like, oh, this brother's going to lose it. And he would step in and he would save me. Thank God. Because, I'm new at this. Never have a heated argument with anyone you desire to lead to Christ. That's kind of obvious. Don't fight with them. And it's kind of funny because I believe by the Spirit of God, your pastor's going to let, hopefully, he's going to let me continue with this training. But I have a teaching about dealing with cults. You know, the guys that are on the bicycles with the shirts and the ties. I'm telling you. Funny story. I just got to share this. We're doing this, and one of these guys with the elder and, you know, little kid, and it's got the shoot and stuff. And you're like, I said, the Holy Spirit speaks to me. He says, what do I do? He says, cut the bull. Excuse me? He said, cut the bull. Tell him to cut the bull. Oh, Elijah. So I walk over and I said, okay, hi, I'm a Christian. I'm going to sit here and I'm going to call on my God. You call on your God, and the God that answers by fire is God. Oh, they didn't want no part of that. I don't advise that, but the Lord will deal you with all those. But that was the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost cracks you up when you're out there doing that. It's fun, and it's not boring. It's fun, and it's exciting. I mean, if you like action and adventure, I'm telling you, where else are you going to get that kind of action and adventure? You don't know what's going to happen. It's like walking through that door. I come in here tonight, and I'm trying to get Pastor Marty. Hey, Pastor Marty, I know the Holy Ghost has told you what's going on tonight. Let me know. I ain't telling you. Because I know he had something for me. I was like, I don't know if I'm going to preach. Here it is. I got it. I mean, this is what the Lord has placed on my heart. This is what I want to get across. But he's got a whole nother thing. But if you like action and adventure, man, just go out and knock on some doors. Because I believe, and like I said, I've not talked to your pastor about this at all. But I believe the Lord is going to raise up a SWAT team in this house. In this house. He's been talking to me about it. Since I came, well, I don't say came back, since I started coming here on Wednesday nights. And the reason I come here on Wednesday nights, just so you know, I'm a member of Oak Hills Church. Pastor Max Lucado is my pastor. But they don't have Wednesday night service. But I follow this man as he follows Christ. You've got one, just a prophetic voice in this age, in this dispensation of grace. I'm privileged to be up here speaking with you, and I thank Pastor Marty for that anyway. Never lose your temper. Okay, never had a heated argument. And then don't be in a hurry. Take your time. We can't slam dunk them to Jesus. Believe me, I tried that. It doesn't work so well. Okay, here's a sinner's prayer. You're like, no, get away from me. But just take your time. The Holy Spirit's faithful. He's honest. He'll help you through it. Next slide, or last slide. Be prepared to give some instructions. And this is kind of where you've got to be led by the Holy Spirit, but they need some instruction, especially if they've never been to church before. Confess Christ. Tell them, hey, you've got to talk about Jesus now. Now that you're saved, that's what I tell them. Now that you're saved, there's some things that he wants you to do. And they're open to hear that. Be baptized and partake in the Lord's Supper. Man, I can't wait. I just can't wait. Because here's the thing, I'm preaching this message, whatever it is, and I'm going to come back and we're going to have testimony about baptisms at this church and how it was crazy. I know that's going to happen. I just can't wait. I'm just telling you right now. Study the word daily, pray daily, put your sin out of your mind and every doubt out of your life. Obey God. Seek the fellowship of Christians. When you fall into sin, don't be discouraged. Confess it and believe it is forgiven. Okay? You're leading people to Christ, not to a church. I was involved in a ministry, powerful anointing, powerful ministry. But the man of God was more interested in seats in the pews than he was souls in the kingdom. And I said, I got to go. So I thank you for being very attentive tonight. And like I said, I mean, I have a different anointing, a different preaching style than my brother, and I'm still trying to grow into it. I'm not where I need to be, but we're all growing. But together we can see souls come into the kingdom. We can see this church packed to standing room only. And I believe by the Spirit of God that there is a Jerusalem that is right around here. These subdivisions around here, Tanglewood, I believe there's a reason why Marty hasn't gotten a new church yet. Because I believe there's people here in this area that need Jesus. These businesses, you know, people here. So be praying about that. I'm excited to hear testimony. If you want a copy emailed to you, I will give you, I've got my business cards. Just send me your email and I'll shoot it over to you. If you have PowerPoint, if you don't, next Wednesday I'll have printouts. Because this is good stuff. And when I was sitting down and I was studying this, you understand that there's every objection is covered by Scripture. I didn't get to all of them. I'd be up here for another hour talking about it. But God is so good. And God's word is good. And I thank you for this ministry. Oscar, I thank you for your faithfulness. I was liking that Wednesday night, it was like, what we need is we need the eye of the tiger. And if you look in this man's eyes, that's what it is. That's the seriousness God wants. He wants that. And if we had that on the tape, I'd have you play that right now. But there was a time in my life, and I think, and I liken it. I'm not your pastor. I'm called alongside to help your pastor. You have to liken it to, like, is he still got that picture up here? He used to have that picture up there of Rocky, but that's like in your corner. That's like not Brother Mickey, that's Brother Marty. And Marty's in your corner, and when you're down on the canvas, he's telling you, get up, yes. Because Marty loves you. And I thank you because that was me. That was me. And I wanted to get you one of those little white beanies you can wear on your head. Because I, like I said, I'm called to do my part, and I'm called, it's been a long time coming as far as, okay, how do I fit here? I'm still not 100%. But like I said, I'm called to assist your pastor in this area for his honor and glory. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, we just thank you for this opportunity. Father God, we thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for giving me grace, Father God, to deliver this message. Father God, I thank you that you are serious about souls. And I thank you, Father God, that we have imparted, the Holy Spirit and I have imparted a desire to see people come into the kingdom. Get that white hot fervor in their hearts, Lord, to reach the lost for Jesus. And I thank you, and I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Y'all got some word. Y'all got taught. You can teach, but the question is, did you catch? Catch. You got to catch it. Some things can't be taught. You got to catch. In other words, you have to choose to reach for it. Amen. I appreciate it, Elder. If you get the envelopes out to pass out for tithes and offering. James has been a wonderful friend of mine, and just like he said, that we don't talk much. It's like, and some of y'all that know me in here, y'all text me and you see one word response. I'll see James, hey, what's up, James? How you doing? What's going on? Bless me, highly favored. You know, he's just charged, and I'm like, Lord Jesus, help me. I want that kind of energy. And that's it. But then we'll get into the Spirit, and it's over. It's over. Because all of a sudden, he just starts speaking. Boom. So it's a blessing. I appreciate your ministry. I appreciate your spirit, man. Appreciate that. Turn him up. Yo, please. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Your sister's going to come home. She's coming home. She's coming home. Loose her right now in the name of Jesus. I loose her right now out of the bonds of wickedness off of her life right now. Manipulation and control and witchcraft that is all over. I bind you right now in the name of Jesus. You loose her and let her go. Let her come home to her brother. Let her come home to her mama. Let her come home to her grand. Let her get back into the family because she is lost and she's coming back home. I declare it now in Jesus' mighty name. Be at peace, son. Be at peace. When she comes home, grab a hold of her. Love her and tell her, I love you. I love you. I love you. Don't even get into the conversation about this, that, and the other. I love you. I love you. I love you. She's going to need you more now than ever before. Don't worry. Mama has a tendency to do this, but it ain't going to happen. God's going to do exactly what he did to John. Whew, to John's daddy. He's going to shut the mouth of her so that she can come home and be welcomed with love. With love. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh God, I just thank you for the people of God that have tarried in your presence, but Lord, that they learned tonight the word that was spoken to them, that you stirred the evangelist that is inside of them, which is the Holy Spirit, to reach out and to go to the highways and the byways, to reach out for the lost souls, even the lost that sit in the pews in churches, Father. You heard the testimony of the grandmother that just served and served and served, but didn't get saved until she had a phone call. Lord, I believe that was prophecy being spoken into the atmosphere of this house, that many of your loved ones are about to be saved. Many of those that you come in contact, whether through the phone, through text, or through even Facebook, are about to get saved. I believe it by faith, God. I believe it. We receive it today. Ma'am, I keep seeing like a friend of yours or a lady that sits next to you, that her head is on your shoulders and she's weeping and weeping, and it's like she needs God to come through. It's like she got a bad report about something, but I hear that the Spirit of God is bringing healing to this individual. And you may know her through family or friends, but I see her just always leaning on you for guidance, leaning on you for prayer. And I see that God is going to touch her in that very special place to bring about healing in her body and her heart. It has to do with her heart. Healing is coming to her. And I don't know you. I maybe you've been here before. I don't know. But okay. With Kim? Okay. Okay. Amen. But I still don't know what's going on. But I see this individual, like, head on your shoulders. Like, you've been more of a mother figure. Mother figure, there's some healing's going to take place, and you're going to see God really come through, really come through. And the miracle that you're in need of is going to be manifested. It's going to be manifested. I thank God for your spirit. You needed a special touch from God, and you got it sitting there by yourself. And he came and he visited you right there. He stood next to you, and you could sense his presence, and you began to weep even more and more. He's letting you know everything is going to be okay. It's going to be okay. I pray that tonight that you see the glory of God in your dreams. The glory of God. Let you know that he is so in love with you. And you are a powerful woman. Very powerful woman. Be encouraged, believer. Because what you speak, you're going to bring a lot of people so much peace. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. Hallelujah. Thank you.
them right now in the name of Jesus. Such a peace, God. Such a peace. Only you can bring it. Holy Spirit. Such a peace. I thank you for the purpose. The purpose, God. Thank you, Lord, that your presence be with them every step of the way. Every step. I thank you for that. Oh, God. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah. Special touch, a special blessing upon them. Innocence and purity. God Almighty, thank you. Oh, goodness. God, I love you, and I thank you. Each and every individual today, with that same purity, that same innocence, let them experience it, God. In Jesus' name. Deposit your seed on your way out, and oh God, just know that there's something very special He has in store for you. Something very special. Very special. God bless you. I love you.